Hey guys, it's Brianna, and I am joined by my friend and co-host, Christina.
Hi everyone.
And you are listening to Oh Brother,
your favorite Big Brother podcast.
Listen as we discuss all of the alliances, backdoors, and twists you love to watch. You guys, we're back for another episode, and it's exciting because we have Christina back with us. Woo-hoo. Christina, what's up?
Nothing much. I missed the podcast. Been away too long.
We're happy to have you back. Let the people know what you've been up to. I gave them a little info, but what have you been up to?
Been on vacation, came back, starting a new job, been one thing after another, but I'm back for good now.
I know. You've been a busy bee, huh?
Oh, man. I'm tired every day. Not that I wasn't before, but even more tired. But I'm ready.
And then you got me ready to talk some BB. When can you record a podcast episode amid all of your
I know. When I was away, I had no access to cable. I mean, I don't have cable, but I didn't have any access to like my normal streaming platforms. For some reason, Paramount and one other platform, it wasn't HBO Max, it was Paramount and something else. Paramount Plus did not want to load on my iPad. And every time I open it, it's like, error, it's not available in this country. I'm like, what?
Rude.
We're just going to get up with it. I don't know. But I tried.
How was your trip, by the way? Off.
It was wonderful. It was before we woke up, our schedules were already picked for us.
Oh my God.
We were jam-packed with a lot of things going on. We were only there for 2 weeks, but it felt like a lifetime.
It felt like you were gone for a while.
I felt like I was there for a while, but it also went by so fast. It was weird.
Yeah.
But happy to be back. I'm ready to talk Big Brother. I binged like the entire, since the first episode up to current, like the past 2 days.
Literally like 10 episodes. So you've been busy.
Oh yeah. So fresh in my mind, all these people, I'm ready to go.
Love that. Well, in that case, let's just jump right in.
Hopping in.
So we'll start off with episode 8, which was, which started out with Matt being in tears over Riley leaving. And I have to just point out that on feeds, they didn't show it in the episode. I think it was America, Izzy, and I forget who else was in the bathroom with them. But they pointed out that Matt made a little shrine to Riley with like her sunglasses and like a couple other of her things that she like left behind.
Okay,
and
they can were I like, ask, that's how so many weeks sweet. Was she in there? One, two?
2 weeks.
Oh.
And they were like, that's so sweet, but also, do we have to keep that there all season?
He's a little puppy dog.
I'm soft.
Little puppy dog. No, he was crying with me upstairs. He was really crying. Like, it's so funny seeing him, like, you know, big and tough.
He's a big softy. He's cried many times. I've
softy.
Seen him cry a bunch of times.
He was crying,
I've
like,
seen him cry with this.
I'm going to miss her.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, yeah. No, no, but.
No, no, no.
But
like,
he was crying
about
Riley a couple times.
Yeah.
Why? He almost cried when he was having a conversation with me in the half hour.
Okay, I can't anymore. That's enough. Oh, my God.
She had to go.
We only been here 2 weeks.
I know.
I'm trying to think when I was that young that I fall in love that fast.
She's 27.
Oh.
He's a grown man. He is.
He is.
She's savage.
He's a grown man. I was like, he said nobody touch it. I gotta get ready. Like, gotta get ready in the morning.
Wait, do we just have to
you
leave that
start
there?
Some shit?
I wanted to put them all away.
You got the ice.
You want to get some shit started? Swipe it off and leave it on the floor.
That's so bad.
So sad. We should just add Q-tips to it.
Mm-hmm. No, you really want to offend. Swipe it off and leave it right there.
No, we can't do that.
Why not?
You'll cry.
Oh, talk about man.
Like, we need a house meeting.
He wouldn't. He wouldn't.
With the Q-tip.
Oh, man. I'm sorry.
No, pobrecito. This is pobrecito for real.
Like, are you in the sunglasses? It's like a shrine.
I said he made a little shrine for her. It's very cute.
It is. honey better have a shrine at the house for me. There better be some hair.
Look, I'm gonna center it. Look, I'm gonna make it look a little bit more aesthetically appealing.
I said, she's still alive.
They know that, right? America is savage.
It was funny. I feel bad for the guy. Like, obviously 2 weeks in Big Brother time is a lot longer than 2 weeks in like regular people time.
Well, also, we don't know how close they got because they only show so much. They're in close quarters for 24 hours every day, you know?
So I felt bad for him, but I was like, this little sensitive boy, she's only been there for 2 weeks. Come on, pull it together.
Is it just me, or does he remind anybody else of Michael Clifford from 5 Seconds of Summer? Is it just me?
I don't know who that is, but let me
I'll show you later.
I'll pull up
a picture. Okay, if you look at a picture, you're going to go, who is this? He doesn't look anything. It's his mannerisms.
Like... Oh, okay.
His mannerisms. Someone will agree with me. Someone, whether they're here or in Brazil where there's no access to Paramount.
Hashtag oh brother podcast.
Someone will agree.
let us know. But yeah, I just thought that was sweet, but also so extra. Sweet. It was like, come on. Moving on to the HOH competition, it was that snot comp. It was kind of a crapshoot one where they just like hit the putter, get your ball in the highest number type of deal. And I was really glad.
I hate those because anybody can win.
I know, but I was really glad that Miss Felicia won it because.
Oh my God, cracked up.
It's annoying. The only time I find the crapshoot competitions annoying is when somebody who's really good at physical comps or mental comps and like has won a bunch of stuff also wins that one versus somebody like Miss Felicia who kind of has struggled with some of the other competitions, like gets a chance to win. You know what I mean? Like, God. No shade to Miss V, but it was definitely like her competition to win. Oh my God, I know. We'll get to that later. She was cracking me up with the
song. My gosh. But yeah, no, I totally get it. But I'm also one of those people where I get annoyed when anybody but the people I like win. Yep. And then I blame it on these stupid comps. But then yep. If it goes my way, I'm like, oh, I love these comps.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like, it all depends. I mean, I think these comps are kind of blah because they don't take really any effort. Mm-hmm. It's just you roll the ball. But at the same time, they're fast and you know who wins right then and there. But I like these comps maybe later down the line. Like, you know when they do like more than one comp in one night? Like if it's the double eviction or when it gets towards the final. I think that, the finale, I should say, not the final. I think it makes more sense to do them, whether it's in the very beginning, like one of the first nights where they're doing a lot of stuff, or later down the line.
Something that's fast paced.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like if it's one of those dragged out episodes, it's almost like, okay, I don't want to watch, I don't know, like Jared's mom giving him dagger eyes for 45 minutes. Like, I'd rather it be during one of those fast paced competitions because take advantage of the fact that you have to find out then and there who's had a household, you have to put people up, do double eviction, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. I don't know, that's just me. Maybe I'm just too picky. I don't know.
I mean, I totally agree. When it's somebody who I like that wins, I love them. When it's someone I don't like, right? Wins, I hate them. So in this case, I loved it because I love right? Miss Kate. So I was very
I just
excited.
Loved her reaction. Oh my God, so funny.
Her reaction was amazing. And then she finds out that all the Humiliverse wins come with a punishment. And she has to get snotted on. And this is where, like, Big Brother almost becomes embarrassing. Like, if I was going to try to get somebody that I know that doesn't watch to watch the show, and this was the competition right. they saw, I would be like, this is so embarrassing. They're literally getting, like Nickelodeon
if, like, they
slimed.
Have to wear a costume or, like, something like that, but a giant nose.
A giant snot? I was like, really? It
like,
was
the
funny,
whole thing,
though.
Like, the kicking you in the butt. I'm like, come on.
Uh-huh. Like, some things, I'm like, okay, like, this is Big Brother. It's campy. It's ridiculous. Like, it's corny. It's cheesy. Like, that's the point. But then some of these things, I'm like, okay, you guys have gone too far. You put two giant ass noses in the backyard.
It's like childish.
Right.
Almost, you know?
And they do say it's a family show, but I don't know.
Family. Yeah, it's for the kiddos. No. But I mean, I do appreciate that she picked nearly everybody. Like, everybody
Right.
was
She
like,
gave
no
everybody
one.
got their turn.
From what we saw, nobody really put up an argument. I think they all
No.
knew like it was fair. And I have to say, this cast, for it being a competition show, they're all pretty respectful of each other.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that.
Like, nobody's yet, even though it's very early, nobody's like fighting and arguing and being rude to one another. Everyone's pretty respectful and respects each other's space and what's fair. And I think it's really sweet.
Yeah, they just talk shit about each other behind their backs, which is
I mean, ain't that the way the cookie crumbles in real life?
it, right,
So I'd
exactly.
rather that. Somebody hold the door for me, but then talk about me versus slamming the door in my face and talk about me.
I know.
At
I
least
do
with
want to see
Ben.
some fights, though. I'm sure we'll get some
I
later
want to
on.
see something. I don't know who I'd see. Who do you think would be the first people to fight?
Cameron and Izzy.
Really?
Yeah, they've already had some, like on feeds I've seen, they've had some disagreements. She just can't stand him, and I don't think he likes her either. Like their personalities crash.
I think Izzy
Clash, I
is
mean.
very opinionated and
Oh,
she can
yeah.
come off a little forward sometimes. And I think she doesn't know when to just let, what is it, let the horse lie. She pretty much beats a dead horse all the time. I'm like, okay, we get it. We get
And
it.
when she doesn't
I
like
think she's gonna
someone, she
rub
doesn't know how
somebody
to
the
rein
wrong
it in.
way. Yeah, I think not necessarily somebody who's not in their alliance either. I think she's just gonna say something, rub somebody the wrong way, and it's gonna bite someone in the butt. Bite her in the
With that
butt.
being said, I love Izzy. I think she's made for TV and she cracks me
Oh, I
up.
love it. I think it's funny. I think she's hysterical. When she
Her
talks
crush on
about
Matt.
Matt,
Oh
oh
my
my
God,
God,
Jinx.
so funny.
I love it so much.
She said something like, well, my first impression was that you were beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh my God, this
She's like, I'm
girl.
99% gay and I have a girlfriend, but Matt,
But there's a
though.
point something percent for Matt.
Yeah, I was like, geez. And then there's so many like funny clips of her just like flirting with Matt. And now Ceree has been trying to quote unquote steal Izzy's man. So whenever like Ceree and Matt are together and like Izzy walks by, Ceree will like hug on him or like put her arm around him or be like, Matt, you're so sweet. Like just to get under Izzy's skin. It's so funny.
It's funny though because they're friends. Izzy's like her.
It's all in good fun. Cracks me up.
I think it's funny that Izzy and Ceree and Felicia, like they're all like buddies. Like Felicia and Ceree, like I get, but Izzy's just such a wild card in there. It's so funny.
She's so random. And yeah, that
Right?
trio is whenever those
Cracks
three are
me
in a
up.
room together, I have to
You know some
watch.
something about to go down.
Yeah, it's just they keep me laughing, that's for sure.
Right? Like I'd listen to their podcast.
Totally, totally. It would just be Felicia cackling every 2 seconds.
Oh my gosh, I can't.
Speaking of Felicia, though, I was pissed they did not show her room tour in the
You
episode.
mentioned that. I was shocked they didn't mention it at all.
Okay, and this is the reason why. So I talked about this in the last episode with Shauna, but it was in our like spoilery feed section. So a lot of people probably didn't hear it. So I'll give like a quick recap. But basically, on feeds for the past like 2 or 3 weeks, Felicia has been complaining to Mr. Big, which is her name for Big Brother.
I
So
was gonna say, who the hell is Mr. Big?
when she
Am I
talks to the
like missing
cameras and asks
something?
for
She
stuff.
have like a romance with somebody, someone else in
No,
the house?
she, whenever she requests things from Big Brother, she says, okay, Mr. Big, and she'll like list off her like requests, right? She's hilarious. I love her so much. She's been requesting seasoning salt, garlic powder, all the shit in the kitchen so she can cook, right? And she
What,
hadn't
they give
got
them
it.
nothing?
She hadn't got it, but whatever she was requesting, they didn't give it to her. Then she wins HOH, and in her HOH basket, she got her seasoning and she fucking flipped out. And it is the funniest clip.
Why?
Like, she was excited. She
Oh.
freaked out. You have to see the clip. I'll send it to you after, and I'll insert
For
like the audio here.
seasoning.
But
Watch, they give her like great value orange powder, like onion powder.
oh no, they gave her exactly what she asked for.
Oh,
Exactly what
good.
she asked for. And the clip is so funny because it's a zoomed in clip of her face and her holding up the seasoning. But then all the house guests are behind her, like seeing what she got. They all start
probably like,
cheering.
What'd you get? And she's
they
sitting
all
here
start
over
fucking
a thing
cheering.
Of Old Bay.
Literally, she goes, "My seasoning salt," and then everyone in the background's like, "Yeah!" It's so funny.
Oh my god, that stuff cracks me up when it's like the simplest of things. Like, they're like, "What'd you get? You get a CD? I got my Old Bay."
She was pumped. Oh my god, it was so cute. But yeah, they didn't put it in the episode. I was like, missed opportunity. So hopefully Mr. Big gets his shit together and puts it in the memory episode. Miss V wins HOH, and immediately Hysam is pushing for Matt and Jag to go up.
Shut up, Honia.
Because he thinks everybody is still on his side at this point, even though the wheels are already turning to get his ass out.
Rightfully so.
I know. We'll get into Hysam a little bit more later. I think I'm in the minority in that I did not want him to go home.
He's entertainment.
But yeah, like, he made a good villain, I felt like.
Oh, yeah. Like, I don't even think he was, like, a bad dude. I think he was just...
He got caught up in the moment.
The whole thing with Riley, he just went way over the top, and then he did the same exact thing, if not worse. She never said, I'm going to buy him. She said, I think he's coming for me. It would make sense. And he made it seem like she had some elaborate scheme. Like, this girl's like, dude.
Cool your jets.
I think he's just nuts, though.
But yeah, we'll get into Hysam a little bit later.
Ciao, Hernia.
Or Hymen, as Jared would call him.
I was cracking up at that conversation. They're sitting there like...
So dumb.
Hymen? She goes, no.
Hysam?
No,
Hysam.
Hymen.
Finally, they got there. Speaking of Jared, though, his showmance with Blue is the worst thing in the entire world. Ceri hates it. I think I hate it just as much as she does.
Oh my god, I was laughing when they showed her face.
Oh my god, that clip where it was just her lurking on the other side of the backyard.
You know, I'm like, oh.
It's even funnier because Jared obviously knows, like, my mom's over there watching. Blue just thinks Ceri is some lady. Like, she has no idea.
He's like, why is she looking at you like...
Yeah, so it's like Blue is oblivious. However, she should fucking know, because what people that haven't seen feeds don't know is that Jared is dropping hints to Blue every 2 seconds about his quote-unquote secret he keeps saying he has. And if she had 1 ounce of brain cells in her body, she would have figured it out by now. But she is so oblivious. She hasn't
paid
any attention.
So what has he said about
attention.
Clues? Like, what kind of clues has he said?
He's basically said, like, oh, I have a secret in the house. And I forget specifically what he has said. He said it like multiple times to her. Stuff
but
about
if you're
like.
Saying, even if you say word for word, I have a secret in the house, no one's going to give a crap what it is. They're just going to send you out.
Yeah. She's just so dickmatized at this point. That's the wrong word.
Did you see what
they haven't actually
I think it was
up.
Riley said when she got sent out? She said, oh, they said, he said something in the bathroom, and someone goes, oh, that's Mystery's son's name.
Oh, yeah, that was Kirsten that said that.
Who that's Kirsten?
The first evicted.
Who?
The person who was first evicted. She's the one that said the thing about the nickname.
Oh, the girl's playing too hard, too fast.
Yes, the first one.
I forgot about her.
Let me see if I can find the quotes from Jared. About his
just
secret.
An hour ago, someone said something. I'm like, oh my god, this guy's gonna get caught.
Right?
He's such a bad, like, liar / secret keeper. Oh my lord.
Who was in Jersey City and who was in Connecticut?
My mom was in Connecticut and my dad was in Jersey City.
Okay.
So, see, I can't be telling you certain things because you might be put the fucking pieces to the puzzle together.
Okay.
You're pretty intelligent, but anyway, so just to stick to the story without giving too many details, right?
My thing is not as pretty, you know, I think for this situation it'll be not a shocker, more just like a oh shit kind of situation, like not shocked, just like oh wow. That you probably will find it more cool than anything. I think when you find out more about me outside of this, you're like, that's a fucking shocker. Well, I guess they go hand in hand, actually. So let me take that back.
Is it a thing that America knows?
Yeah. Yeah, it's not something that I hide from the rest of them. It's just something that I'm not able to
but
say.
But like I'm saying, like Big Brother audience, like they know.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh, for sure.
Okay, mine's also something.
Like yeah, yeah, yeah. So, and that's why I say in that sense it'll just be like a oh wow kind of moment more mm-hmm. than like oh I'm shocked or upset. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. I don't think it'll make you upset in any kind of way. Mm-hmm. But I definitely think it'll be like. I think more than anything, like, that makes so much fucking sense. Mm. Riley, it's funny because she's joined America with Finding Out already, right. And she probably like, yo, what the fuck?
Interesting. Okay, okay.
He's oh, yeah. dropping hints left and right to her, and, like, you have nothing better to do in the Big Brother house than spiral and, like, try to figure out this secret. Like
I
literally, just go look at the memory
wall.
They have
saying.
The same
She'd
face.
Kill him.
No, she doesn't know. If she knew, she would murder him. I need right? Ceree to win a competition and send Jared.
Ceree's gonna need to send her own son out.
I want her to. It would be the best thing she could do for her game. But she's already said that she would sacrifice her game for him, which is a shame because he's not gonna win. Speaking of Jared, they also. Conveniently cut around that hammock like showmance scene and cut out all of his misogynistic comments. He has made a lot of comments about he's made a lot of comments about he has to remember that females are people too. He said that he would never want to date somebody that hooked up with him on the first date because he would lose respect for them, but he would still hook up with them anyways. He said
it's okay for him,
right? It's fine for him, but like he lose respect for the girl because sex should be sacred for women, but like he can have sex with whoever he wants and like it's fine. Basically he's a walking double standard.
Gotta love it.
Ceree's gonna be very disappointed when she watches this back. That's all I have to say.
I wonder if she's gonna watch this back.
I don't know. I mean, if she only watches the episodes, she'll never know because they didn't put it in there.
Yeah.
They're protecting him. We'll see how long that lasts, though.
Right?
So Felicia's kind of trying to figure out what she's going to do. I think we all knew that her main goal was to backdoor high some, but she kind of comes up with the plan to put up Cam and Jag. And they will be the pawns in order to get out Hysum. So she clues them in. She tells Jag, okay, this is the plan. You're going to go up as a pawn next to Cam. But what they also didn't show in the episode is that she told both Jag and Cam they were pawns, but her backup target was Jag. She was like, Jag is not a pawn. I'm putting Jag up because I want Jag to go home if we can't get to Hysum because... 30 minutes before Riley's eviction, he went around the house and lied and said the flip was back on, that he had Ceree, Izzy, and Felicia's votes to keep Riley, and that he just needed a few more. He was basically like throwing out a Hail Mary, trying to get other people to vote to keep Riley in the house. And it got back to, obviously, Felicia and that side that he was lying about their votes. So Miss Fee didn't like that very much. She doesn't like a liar. And so she was like, okay, well,
I don't like
can't
a liar
get
either.
Hysum.
I don't blame you.
I know.
Jag,
she was
you
like,
gotta be
can't get Hysum. Jag's next to go. And it was just like sloppy gameplay on his part. Like, I get it. You want to do everything you can to save your ally, especially because they were in a final two. But like 30 minutes before, it's too late.
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit.
But the irony is when Felicia is telling Jag about the plan that he's going to be the pawn, they form a new alliance. And it's essentially, they're like, okay, well, the house is split. But if we bring three people from my side, meaning Felicia's side, and three people from Jag's side together, then we can run the house and like pick off everyone else and like basically get them to attack each other. So this alliance includes Ceree, Izzy, Matt, Blue, and then Jag and Felicia, and then they bring in Jared for some reason as like the seventh person.
Everyone act like Jared is good at this game. Like Jared is just a floater.
Yeah, he's being carried.
He
by
doesn't do
else.
Anything. He doesn't participate well in comps. He doesn't. He nearly doesn't do anything.
I know.
He has no social game.
His social game is cuddling with Blue, even though he has
That's
a girlfriend.
Like I don't understand.
But yeah, they formed this alliance. It's called the Savage Seven. But what Jag and Blue and Matt don't know is that it's not really real. Like Felicia, Sari, and Izzy are working more with other people than they are with them. It's just kind of like
they're more working with each other.
A fake alliance situation. So yes, of course we know Misfi nominates Jag and Cam. But the nomination ceremony absolutely cracked me up because she got all cute. And then they were like, hold on a sec. We have to cover you in snot first.
She's like, no.
Her wearing the goggles absolutely took me out.
I love how even though she wears the goggles, everything gets in them. Like,
oh my God, I know. I was like, what's the point? Oh. I probably would have been like, I'm not wearing those.
I would have just put my hands over my face.
Exactly. But I just thought that was so funny. Poor thing.
Hey, she handled it like a trooper.
I know. And nobody can complain about her pulling them in to get snotted because she had to do it every fucking time. That's so many showers, so much laundry. There was also a feeds audio leak during the nomination ceremony. So for people that don't watch the live feeds, all the ceremonies and competitions are not on the live feeds unless they announce ahead of time that they're doing like an endurance competition or something. But so the nomination ceremonies are not on feeds. We just watch like adoption cams from an animal shelter and wait for them to come back. But it was the puppy cams. And then you could hear the audio from inside the house still. Like they forgot to turn it off.
Someone getting fired.
And literally you could hear production being like, okay, Felicia, do that one more time. And she had to like repeat, like saying like, all right, everybody, it's time for the nomination ceremony. So if I can find audio clip, I'll include it because it kind of gives you a little peek behind the curtain of what really happens during these nomination ceremonies. Like production's in their ear saying, okay, do that again. Okay, try that one more time.
I think it's nuts because they have cameras. How many cameras did they say? 90-something, 100-something microphones. Like as if you didn't catch it.
Right. I think it was like, probably just the way she said it or something that they were like, let's do that again.
These people.
Okay, I'm going to have you just do it one last time. No, that was good. This time I just want you to, as soon as you're done saying it, you can walk back upstairs to the bridge.
Okay. Hey, everybody. Time for the nomination ceremony.
Sorry, Felicia. We weren't quite ready. Give me one second. No. All right, go ahead.
Hey, everybody. You know what time it is. It's time for the nomination ceremony.
But yeah, so Jag and Cam go up. Nobody's surprised at this point. I almost forgot. The segment where Matt was talking to, I think it was Sari and Izzy, about like his struggles being deaf in the house. I like
that
they included
that. Oh, that was such a sweet conversation.
Yeah, and it's like Sari, I think, really took it to heart because I don't think he really got an opportunity towards the beginning of the game to like let everyone know how his disability affects him and stuff. Yeah, so Sari was like, wow, I'm really glad you told me this because like I had no idea. And he was basically like, yeah, when I'm in a room with a group, like I can't really follow along because I can't figure out. By the time I figure out who's speaking and I'm trying to follow that, like the conversation has moved on. I can't imagine having to do that.
Like people assume I'm like some sort of jerk or douchebag.
I know.
I don't listen. No, it's because I can't hear you.
Yeah. He's like, I'm not just not talking because I have nothing to say or I think I'm like too cool or whatever. He's like, I genuinely just can't follow along as well. And so it's harder for me to contribute when it's a group combo. So that was really eye-opening. I love Matt. I hope that as the numbers dwindle in the house, if he sticks around, you know, it kind of makes it a little bit easier for him to communicate when there's less people yapping away all the time.
Right? Like his.
Seriously. And his god-awful laugh. But anyways, yes. Noms happened, and then we moved on to the second episode of the week. Veto episode. Towards the beginning, Felicia tells practically everybody about the backdoor plan except for Red. And he very quickly started to realize that he was being left out. They kind of made it seem like he only figured it out.
He followed along.
Yeah, they kind of made it seem like he only figured it out when Cameron told him. But he was having doubts before then. Like, when I was watching feeds, he said something to Izzy, like, I feel like I'm being left out of something. And she was like, oh, no, like, Jag's a target. Like, she just kept, like, lying to him, basically. But he knew something was up before Cam even told him, like, hey, just so you know.
I wouldn't doubt it at all, because he flat out said to Riley, hey, this is your alliance. Missed it, everybody. Yeah.
He knows.
Like, he listens. He pays attention. Like, it really doesn't take that much to kind of put two and two together in certain situations. Mm-hmm. But he's smart. He's not dumb.
He is a smart cookie. And observant.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Speaking of smart cookie, funny story. I was trying to teach my husband, Edson, his family that the term smart cookie.
Yeah.
Like, it's popular here, and they're like, what do you mean smart cookie? Like, what does that mean? I said, oh, you're just saying someone's smart. Like, you say, like, a term of endearment, like, oh, you're a smart cookie, or you're a tough cookie. So then when I was leaving, his aunt was like, oh, you're such a smart cookie. And they were so proud of themselves.
Oh, my God, learning. That's so smart cute. Cookie. That is really so cute. Oh, my gosh.
I don't know. It was just cookie. Something so cute.
That is really cute. They were like, I love that.
Cookie.
But I'm gonna start using that more often. I forgot that tough cookie was a thing too.
Yeah, like, you're a tough cookie.
Yeah. I'm gonna use that more often.
Not a lot of people use that anymore.
Oh my gosh, the clip of Blue like fake crying to Hysum. I was like, all right, now you guys are doing so many theatrics.
She really ain't crying.
No. So many theatrics. This girl also loves the cameras. I can't stand it. She is a different person when she knows the cameras are on her. Like, when she's in the DR and stuff, she's playing a character.
She's definitely the type of person to strike me that has a TikTok.
Oh, yeah, she definitely does. And it bothers me a little bit. Like, I get the, like, Gen Z thing. Like, okay, fine. But it's just not her real personality.
Tone it down.
So it kind of bothers me. But, yeah, her fake crying to Hyson was, like, so extra for no reason. I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah, no, I totally get that. And also, like, the way she acted then when Hyson found out, he was like, okay, everybody knew. And he knew that she was being theatrical about it.
Right.
And then her goodbye message to him, I'm like, oh my God. Okay.
Her goodbye message was for no reason. I'm like, you had no reason to say that.
Yeah, he never did anything to her.
Uh-huh. It was so weird. Speaking of Blue and being extra, I need you to rate Corey's pink outfit from 1 to 10. 10 being the best.
I'm going to say a 4 because he didn't wear his pink hat.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we do love the pink hat. It's giving Timmy
Turner. Love Timmy Turner. Where's Chris Kirkpatrick when you need him?
I have to give Corey's pink outfit a 10. I think it looked better on him than it did on Blue.
Listen, A for enthusiasm.
Yes, he is giving what he needs to give in the house. I love Corey.
He is
serving. Serving looks all day.
Oh my God, when he kept saying the phrases, I was cracking up.
Yeah, he's so funny. He was giving us more energy than Blue. I mean, come on now.
Right?
I love Corey, though. He's a team player. He's there to have fun. He's there for the gag.
He's smart, He's laying low.
Yeah, and he's there to play. He's there to play the game. I'm excited to see what Corey can do.
Same.
But back to Hysum, he is clueless still at this point, and he keeps talking about how he doesn't want to play in the veto, which, obviously, when you think you have an alliance behind you, is smart, because he's already made himself out to be a competition beast, so he's like, I don't even want to play in the veto, I just want to lay low this week, and that's, unfortunately for him, what everyone else wants to happen as well.
Too late.
Before we get to POV stuff, the clip of Mimi in the storage room talking to herself, I was obsessed.
Oh my God, yeah, I was cracking up.
I was obsessed with the fact that they put that in, because Mimi hasn't really gotten that much screen time in the episodes.
I didn't even know who she was at first.
Yeah, but as someone who watches feeds, I love her. She's laying low. I think she should probably start making some moves soon, but I think up to right now, she's in an okay spot.
Or at least start playing her social game up.
Right. But she has a really good read on the game. And I love her little storage room sessions where she talks to the cameras because she always says exactly what
it's
I'm
like
thinking.
Her cliff notes.
Literally, it's like Mimi's cliff notes. But she's always saying exactly what I'm thinking. Like, she's like, these people are crazy. They flip every second. I have 27 alliances for no reason. Like, she's just always, she's on
for
point.
For no reason.
Her reads are great. So keep an eye out for Mimi, you guys, because I feel like she could come out and be a star. Who knows? So obviously we know Cameron tells Red about the backdoor plan. And so in return for that information, Red tells Cameron about the professors, which, I mean, I feel like it was just a matter of time before that alliance name got leaked out there.
They already voted one of their own off.
So. Right, exactly. And Hysam, obviously, after this, just tells everybody about the alliance. So now everyone knows, but I thought it was funny that Cameron said, I guess that makes me the substitute. I mean, the puns
that
are
was
endless.
So funny. I think he and Red are some of the funniest people in here, to be honest.
They definitely have the most, like, quick
I think
wit.
People don't realize that they're, like, wicked, like, in it. Like, they understand what's going on.
Oh, yeah. They definitely can see what's happening around them.
Oh, yeah. They're not dumb.
I like Red a lot. Cam, I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of Cam.
It's hard to get a read on him.
Yeah. He kind of creeps me out a little bit, to be honest.
I can't with his ponytail things. His
yeah.
pigtails.
Yeah, his little, like, Mickey Mouse ear
oh my
situation.
God, when they were doing the video call, cracking me up. His little pigtails and going, what the heck? I thought it was funny.
So Red brings up the backdoor plan kind of subtly to Felicia. Kind of just throws Hysam's name out there. But of course, she knows, okay, somebody must have told him. So I need to try to, you know, smooth this over in a sense.
Yeah.
But obviously, Red is already hurt by it. So there's no taking it back.
I think it's very dangerous because if Red were to bring that up, it's kind of putting on their radar, like, hey, Red knows and he's not afraid to be like, hey, listen, here's how it is.
Like, you're leaving me out of things and I know about it.
Yeah. But at the same time, if he doesn't say anything, that's going to get them used to the fact that he's not involved.
Right.
So either way, you have to be very careful with whichever way you go about it.
And I think the way he handled it was good. He kind of, like, subtly hinted at it.
Nonchalantly.
Yeah,
hey.
Without being like, you guys left me out. He was kind of like, well, you know, Hysam's a pretty big target. Like,
and I think, honestly, like, him being like, yeah, I agree with what you're doing, kind of helped in his favor.
Mm-hmm, totally. Kind of got them back in. Got him back in their good graces a little bit, I think.
I think so, too.
The funny thing, though, is, and I don't think this was shown in the episode, but Felicia thinks Bowie is the one that told Red about the back door and not Cameron.
What?
Yeah, I don't know why. They really dislike Bowie for some reason.
What?
Yeah, the Ceri, Izzy, and Felicia are, like, very annoyed by her. And I don't really know why, because she doesn't really do anything.
That's what I'm saying. Like, she's just kind of there.
I think they think that Bowie Jane is gaming a lot more than she is. She is literally just hanging out. I don't even know if she knows she's in
the
Big Brother house. Yeah, she's there to hang out. So I don't know why they have so much beef with her, but they do for some reason.
Weird.
It is strange.
It's so strange for no reason.
So they picked players for the veto competition. Obviously, Felicia, Cameron, and Jag are playing. Felicia picks Izzy with a house guest
Smart.
Choice. Cam picks Red with a house guest choice. Not surprising. And then Corey gets picked by random draw. And the competition was the cockadoodle Zoom comp where they're going through that sludge and slime. And it looked thick.
It did. You mentioned that to me and then I watched it. I went, oh my God.
It looked very viscous. And I wanted to try it because I was like, is it as hard as it looks? Because they were talking about it on feeds as if it was like the most tiring thing they've ever done in their entire lives.
Yeah.
And I'm like, was it? But, I mean, we saw Miss Felicia. She only got one friggin' egg.
She was like, just get one egg.
When she was At one point, she was rolling through the slime.
I was laughing. Oh
my she didn't God. Know what else to do. And she had reenacted that on the feeds. And, like, we hadn't seen the competition yet. But her reenactment was cracking me up. She was, like,
I was laughing,
rolling around on the floor. She just keeps me laughing, that lady. But she did get one egg. She tried. I got to give her props for never giving up. She tried the entire time. She just didn't make it very far. Also, I would like to clarify that Corey's butt was not actually out, even though they blurred it. He had nude underwear on.
What?
Because they talked about it on the feeds, and somebody said something about how Corey's butt was almost out, and he was like, yeah, thank God for those nude underwear. So they blurred his butt, but his butt was not actually out. Goodness. It was a lie.
Well, Big Brother lie.
He lied to us. Jag won it, but Red was like hot on his tail and then kind of lost it towards the end. But Red was also a have not. So I think he kind of didn't have the energy he needed to really get to the end and win it.
Yeah.
But at this point, everything's going to plan for everybody with Jag winning. I was excited that Jag won. I like it when people who are on the block win veto. I think it's more fun that way because then you know that like some shit's going down.
Yeah, I think that the way things are going, they're going at a healthy pace.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
If that makes sense. Like there's not way too much going on, but at the same time, it's not like there's nothing going
on. It's not like boring.
Yeah, like what was it last year? We were like, oh my God.
It was so predictable. This season, they flipped their vote 45 times before they make it to eviction night. So obviously we know Humiliverse competitions, when you win, you also get a punishment. And so Jag's punishment is the Cockadoodle Zoom costume. This is weird to me because it's basically just the costume. There's no like task that goes along with it, I don't think. And usually it's like, okay, you got to wear this costume and then like there's an added factor of like, okay, you got to wear this costume and like lay an egg in every room of the house every time Big Brother tells you to, or like something like that. But there was nothing for this one.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of weird. But he gets his little punishment. And I think he looks hilarious.
I think it's funny.
He pointed out on the feeds that his what look like socks are actually tights that go all the way up. So when he goes to the bathroom, he has to take the entire chicken suit off.
Oh my God.
Also the feet. I don't know if you saw the feet on it up close. They're scary looking. They're like got talons on them.
Stop. No, they
make a they make a funny sound when he walks.
Yeah, I think stuff like that, like the costumes, that stuff's funny. I think that's funny. But when it's like that snot thing, I'm like, okay. I thought, what was it? The poetry one they did a while back, the Shakespeare one.
I thought that
was pretty funny.
Yeah, that was funny. And like just gives the house guest something entertaining to do.
Yeah.
I thought was funny about Jag's costume is that at night he has a separate sleeping hat and the chicken's eyes are closed on it.
What?
Which I thought was
what
cute. That's like his hat has the eyeball, like the googly eyes on it. So during the day he wears the one with the eyes open, but then when he goes to bed, he has a chicken hat that has its eyes closed.
Stop. That's kind of funny.
Isn't that
they
funny?
They should just have one with the eyes like at a baby doll. Where when
right. Oh my
down,
God. When
go
he
close.
Lays down, they close. That's so, that would be so creepy.
Oh my God. Can you imagine like you just look over while you're sleeping and the chicken's staring at you?
Oh my God. Just one eye is open.
Oh, it's like kitchen. Weird.
So following Power Veto, you know, obviously Jag wins. So Heisen's like, fine, we'll just put Matt up. He really is pushing for Matt to go up. He made the why go after a knight when you can go after a king comment, which of course came back to bite him in the butt later. But I felt bad that he was like really pushing for Matt. I get it because like in his mind, they're the other side of the house. But he seemed like he was close friends with Matt last week, so it just kind of struck me as odd that he was really, really pushing for Matt to go on the block.
Yeah, it was a little weird. I don't understand what his issue with Matt was. I think it's because he's the only other physical threat
Yeah, he's big
Really.
on like getting out
Not
competition
that no
threats,
one
I
else is a
think.
threat, but I think he overestimates Matt.
Totally. Yeah, I agree with that. He's big on getting like the competition threats out, it seems. So, right before the veto meeting, again, something else they did not show in the episode, which I was annoyed they didn't show it. Felicia pulls Jag aside. Actually, she doesn't even pull him aside. In the middle of the living room, nobody was around, thankfully, but in the middle of the living room, she grabs him and she's like, "Are you playing me? Are you guys fucking playing me? Like, if I do this, am
Who
I gonna
said
look like an
that?
idiot?" Felicia to Jag. Because she was nervous that Jag was gonna pull himself down. She was gonna put up Hysum, and then they were gonna keep Hysum. Like, I think she was just doubting that everybody was really going along with this plan. And so she legit like flipped out on Jag. And then Jag was like, "Okay, let's go in the room and talk," because like they were in the middle of the living room. So they go in the room. Jared was also in the room. He just happened to be in there. And Felicia was like, "I don't care who's here. I need to know if you're fucking playing me right now." Like, she was in his face.
I'm
But I
sorry,
didn't.
wait, whose face was she in?
Jag, the chicken.
What the heck?
Yeah,
No, I
because
know
he
who
was gonna,
Jag is, but
she was gonna pull
I'm
him.
just shocked.
Because I think because he was pulling himself down and she didn't
Oh
trust
my
Blue
God.
enough to ask. She was like, "I trust that if I ask Jag to be straight up with me, that he will, or I could tell if he's lying." Whereas Blue, she doesn't trust Blue as much. So she was like, "I wasn't gonna ask Blue." But she was doubting that Jag, Blue, and Matt were really on her side with this decision. So legit, like 30 minutes before feeds went down for veto, she was like going at him. And they didn't put it in the episode. I was like, come on.
You're right.
The most tension we've gotten.
I'm being straight. I don't care if I'm being here.
I'm glad you're
I need
talking
you to
about
be
it.
straight to me.
I'm
Because I'm
100%
gonna be
straight.
fucking pissed
Yeah.
if I do this thing and then next week you guys are trying to attack our ass.
Absolutely not. I'm
Because
telling you
both,
that.
because Blue brought Cameron in here and she's been standing in the kitchen with Red all fucking morning.
I do not know about
Because
that.
I will
I can
switch
speak
this
for
shit
myself.
up right here.
Absolutely not.
I ain't playing.
No. I'm being
So I'm
100%
looking you
straight.
dead in your face.
Dead in your
I want
face?
to know if you're fucking with me.
I'm not. And not once have I lied to you about that. We had that conversation before, too, in the HOH room. I look you in
Well,
the
you
eyes.
said you haven't lied, but you have lied. Because the thing with Riley, you were telling people that we flipped our vote and we didn't flip our vote. You went to America and Corey and told them that me, Sheree, and Izzy had switched our vote to Riley. I mean, to Cameron, and we were leaving Riley in the house. You did that.
I was
Am I
saying,
telling the truth?
I don't.
Don't say you don't know.
Okay.
You did that, correct?
I
Yes,
was
you did.
told that
No.
it was not
When I
happening.
came back here and you were standing here talking to America, you were telling her that me, Izzy, and Sheree had flipped our vote. Now, just be honest. You did that, right?
I was told, this is 100% facts. Izzy walked in and I said, "Are we so good or no?" And she couldn't give me an answer. Okay, she said, "Don't push it." I knew from
I
that
knew
point.
that,
Yeah.
but then what would make you tell America that we were flipping our vote?
But yeah, Miss Fee was not playing around. She, of course, as we know, uses her veto, and her speech was brutal. I was kind of loving
Oh
it,
my
though.
God. I was like, I liked that she said that, but she also didn't, she wasn't rude about it. Like, yes, she made that snarky comment, but she said it very calmly. She wasn't like, well, you Fruit Loop dingus. Like, she wasn't like being nasty.
Right. It was good. I liked it. I mean, I also liked Hysum's speech when he called Riley out. Like, I love to see a brutal speech on Big Brother. And I feel like Felicia basically just gave Hysum what he gave to Riley, but times 10. And you could tell, oh my gosh, I felt so bad. He looked so hurt. His reaction was a lot calmer than I expected. I expected maybe to see some tears, maybe some like awkward laughter, maybe more of him being upset. But he just looked defeated immediately. And I was like, oh, I want to give him a hug.
Yeah. I feel bad.
Because I also feel like, as much as he did do the whole like dictator thing or whatever, I do really think that he was with them. And I think they exaggerated a lot of it. And so it made me feel like this poor guy, like I just wanted to give him
I
a
did
hug.
feel bad, but at the same time, I'm like, bro.
Oh, no, he definitely did a lot of the stuff that they said he did. I think they just kind of exaggerated it a bit to fit their
narrative.
Yeah, but
look at how he exaggerated with Riley. You need to learn your lesson and take responsibility. I'm like, dude, that's the game.
Yeah, it
and
was
she
very
didn't
extra.
Even, like, betray him.
But I
they
will
didn't even have
say...
game with each other. Whereas he literally was just talking about his own alliance.
Yeah, well, I will say, though, at least he was doing it about someone he wasn't working with. Whereas they're talking about him and they're in an alliance together. Like, if I'm not on the same side as you, I'm going to say whatever bullshit about you I want.
Well, that's like, what I was saying about Riley. Like, she wasn't working with Hytham.
Right. So he should be able to say whatever he wants about her is what I'm getting at. Whereas, like, his side of the house is making all these digs at him when, like, they're supposed to be working with him.
They definitely shouldn't have jumped the gun and been like, rah, 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 rah. They should have said, hey, like, maybe try to tone it down a little bit.
Right. He had
like,
one conversation with Izzy on the hammock where she,
well,
but it was
your answer, Izzy.
It was after they had already decided to backdoor him, though, so it was kind of too little too late. But she was like, hey, just want to let you know that, like, maybe tone. And she made it so vague, but she was like, maybe tone it down a little bit, like, give people some space to you know, share their ideas too, or whatever it was that she said. And he was like, oh, thank you so much for telling me that. He's like, I'm sometimes not the best at talking to people. So, like, I really appreciate you telling me that. And he was like, I'll take it into account. And I was like, this poor guy, she just gave him the feedback that he needed like 3 days ago. And he doesn't even know that, right? Like, it's not going to be worth his time anymore. But he had that conversation with Felicia after she nominated him. It was super awkward. He refused to hug her, which, like, I probably would have done the same thing. I would have been butthurt. But I also think that he approached all of the conversations that he had after being nominated in the right way. He kind of said, okay, let's take a step back.
He did.
Yes,
he
I
did
made
a
mistake.
Very good job of being, he did a very good job of listening and being like, you're right, staying calm, like talking about it. I think he did very good. And I do feel bad. But at the same time, I'm like, that's the game. You talked about your alliance. That I get why they did what they did, but maybe they could have went about it a different way.
Yeah. But
at the same time, I mean, that's the game.
He looked like
they
especially.
They did hear him out too.
He looked especially hurt when Izzy was like, my job was to keep you calm all week.
Yep. Why would she say that?
I know. Like, I was like, why did you say
I
that?
I get
to
it.
Him?
She was like, yeah, we were like I kind of knew. But you don't have to go into detail. Yes, we came up with roles. This was mine.
Like, you're
blah,
just going to make
blah,
him
like,
feel
oh,
worse. He already feels like
right?
shit.
Like, way to make, like, that's like when a friend's like, oh, I had a bad day. Oh, your hair looks bad too.
Yeah,
that's
it's
Izzy.
Like, yeah, just kick him while he's down. Why don't you, Izzy?
For real.
It was so bad.
Izzy has no, like, social cue. Like, she doesn't understand.
Yeah, she was, I think, it's funny because before they put him up, all week long, Felicia, Ceri, and Izzy were talking all big
bash,
and bad,
bash, bash, bash,
excited
bash,
about putting
bash,
him
bash
up,
him.
Saying, I can't wait to see his face, like, oh, we're big and bad, right? And then it
yeah, and
gets
then when
closer
they saw
and
his
closer.
Face, they went, oh, poor baby.
I know. All even right before, like, as it got closer and closer, you could see them having doubts, kind of starting to feel bad, like the guilt was setting in. And Izzy even said, earlier in the week, she was like, I want to sit across from him because I want to see that motherfucker's face when, like, he goes up. But then, like, the day before they did it, she was like, oh, my God, I have to sit on the same side of the couch as him because I can't look at him in the face, like, when we do this. It's like, you guys lost your nerve real fast all of a sudden when it got real. But, yeah, I think Hytham approached the conversations that he was having in the right way in order to kind of try to salvage his game. The problem is, and again, they didn't really show this in the episode, the problem is he was also campaigning to the other side of the house, which sort of undermined his pitch to the professors. Because it's like, okay, if your pitch is, I'm sorry, I made a mistake, let's fix it, I'll be loyal, families fight, but, like, we can fix this. You can't then go and campaign to the other side of the house and say, fuck those guys, they backstabbed me, I'll work with you
yeah,
if
right?
you keep me here, and, like, I'll target them because they tried to get me out. That totally undermined any pitch he was making. So even
right.
though Ceri, Izzy, and Felicia did consider keeping him, and at one point when I was watching feeds, it seemed like a done deal. I was like, okay, they just did this whole
I
thing and now
so
they're going to keep him.
I was so worried watching it because When you said you knew who won the next HOH comp, you were like, I don't want to spoil anything. And I'm like, shit, did they keep him and he won? And I'm sitting here like, because I didn't get to the point yet where they had the eviction. So yeah. I was like, oh my God, they kept him. They are the biggest idiots. But honestly, even if you second guessed it at that point,
it's too late.
It's too late. You can't go back. Just let it out. Let it go.
Right. Exactly.
So I was like, if they keep him, that's going to be the dumbest decision.
It would have been super, super dumb. I think the decision to backdoor him in the beginning was stupid. I was on Mimi's side where it's like, okay, yeah, this guy is crazy.
They could have at least waited a couple more weeks.
Yeah, this guy's crazy, but he wins competitions. He's on our side. He's going to keep us safe. We need to keep him around for a couple weeks. And he's a
huge
shield.
How devoted he was to that group.
Right.
I was like, I would have just kept him for a bit.
And he's a huge target. Like, let the other side take care of him. You guys don't have to do it. That was Mimi's kind of standpoint. But there was no change in the minds of her alliance once they decided what they were doing. So she kind of just went along with it. Unfortunately, despite his very well-worded speech, he was evicted unanimously. I do love when people use their speech to really try to throw out, like, he never stopped campaigning. He really tried till the very last minute to get them to keep him. And I respect it. So in his interview with Julie, of course, Julie tells him about Ceri and Jared. And I feel like his reaction is the reaction I would have had.
Yeah.
He was literally just like, like you could see the wheels turning in his head, like putting the pieces together.
Yeah.
And then he was like, oh my God, they look exactly alike. Well, yeah, of course they do. They have the same fucking face. You guys couldn't see it. Come on.
I think if you weren't putting them together, because remember how they were saying like they didn't really talk in the house. They have to kind of figure out a way to talk where it doesn't seem like anything. I think it's because in the beginning they weren't talking at all from what they showed. So
but
I think
also like the memory wall is right there. They stare at it all the time.
I think it's also because if you're not thinking, hey, we have to see who looks like who, or knowing that something's going on, blah, 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 blah. So I think if they're not looking for something like that, it's going to be right under their nose and they're not going to know it.
My thought process is that if anyone figures it out, it will be either Corey or America, because they're the biggest super fans and they know that in the past they've done family twists and they've done twin twists. So I think once they get bored enough that they start thinking about that and joking about it, then maybe they would be
like, shocked.
Wait
Felicia
a second.
Didn't say anything.
I know, because she's closest to both of them. So you'd think she would know this. But no, she hasn't figured it out yet. But my money is on America or Corey. And I think it could also happen if Blue ever mentions this secret that Jared keeps alluding to. If she mentions it to the right people, I feel like they could probably figure it out. But the fact that they've made it this long is impressive.
Right? Honestly, if people don't figure out in the next like 2 weeks, I don't think they'll figure it out for a while.
Yeah. Which will be crazy. Imagine if they like make it through the whole game without anyone figuring
it out. Like Heisen's like, I hope they make it.
I know. He's like, I want them to be final too.
That'd be awesome. Can you imagine no one finds out until the very end?
It would be really amazing, but I also just don't want to see Jared for that long. So I'm torn. I'm like, I do want to see them two make it to the end just because that would be epic and hilarious, but I just don't.
I at least wish they make it to like the top six.
Yeah.
And then Jared goes home and then Ceri stays and she's like, well, my son was here the whole time.
Yeah. And you guys didn't know. And she's got a jury. Like if they make it to jury, that's cool because then they get a locked in vote basically for the other person. And they have someone in jury who can campaign for them to win. So
I'd die if one of them made it to final two and the other didn't vote for them.
Oh my God. Imagine Ceri was like, fuck you, I'm voting
for Bowie Jane.
Then we got the goodbye messages. We kind of talked about Blue's a little bit. Hers was aggressive for literally no reason. She just loves the camera and it's annoying.
He never crossed her.
Matt, however, I loved Matt's because Matt had good reasons to call Heisem out. And I love when people use their goodbye messages for stuff like that. Like, I'm sick of the, like, oh, I'll see you when I see you. We're going to hang out outside of here. Like, shut up. Give me something good. Did you vote for the BB Power of Invincibility yet?
No.
Oh my God, you got to go
vote. How do
vote.
I vote?
You got to go to cbs.com/BBVote. All you need is an email address. And you get 10 votes.
Who could use a superpower? Corey.
I gave most of my votes to Matt, and then I gave like 2 to Izzy and 2 to Corey. But I low-key also used multiple email addresses, so I got some
cheetah.
Extra votes.
Cheetah.
Hey, they didn't say that you couldn't vote more than once. They just said you had to have a unique email address.
Right. 4 for Corey. I could vote 10 times.
10 times, yep.
Who else do I want to get this power?
My thing was, like, I want it to be someone who I think would actually
I want
use
it to
it.
Be used in a way where it'll, like, make a difference.
Yeah. Okay, while you're deciding, so let me explain it a little bit. So the power is, for the next 3 weeks, I think it is, it basically gives the person who has the power the possibility to
save
someone who's been evicted already, I think. So they could use it. Like, someone just got evicted, and they can be like, nope, you're staying.
Yeah, because it can be used at the next 2 live evictions.
Mm-hmm. So, and they can use it on anyone, including
themselves.
I'm assuming
they get saved, and then if they save that person right before the vote happens, they have to put somebody up.
Oh, I don't know. I think it's just that they just cancel the eviction, basically.
Well, because then how are they going to move towards the final, the finale?
They already have
nobody's.
But they already have too many weeks. That's the thing. Like, if they evict someone every week, because the season is so long, if they evict someone every week, they'll run out of people by that time. So they're probably banking.
I ain't giving it to Matt.
Someone using it.
I don't know who to give it to. I don't want Jag. I don't want Jared. I don't want
Izzy.
I don't want Felicia.
Important to say, you're voting for that, so that when you vote, the top 4 vote getters have to compete. To win it. So whoever makes top 4 competes, and then that person gets the power. So it's kind of like 2 layers to it.
I don't want Izzy to get nothing.
I voted for Izzy. I didn't give her many, though. I gave
But I don't know what I would
to
want
Matt.
Her to do. Like, who's she going to save?
Right. That's the thing.
Because I know if I give it to Red, he's going to want to save Cam and vice versa.
Yeah. That's why Bowie I would Jane prefer to give it to Cam than Red, because I would like to see Red get saved, but I don't really want to see Cam get saved. But I also don't want Cam to think that America likes him. So I kind of avoided those 2.
You know what? 10 votes to Corey.
Yeah. Hell yeah. I love that.
But like, these people, no one's really like.
I'm excited to see who gets the most votes in that. It'll be interesting.
But who is he gonna save? No, Jag,
maybe Jag. Yeah, he could, honestly, that might be good. He could save Jag, he could save Blue. He's kind of started to work with the 3, Felicia, Izzy, and Suri a little bit, so he's got options. He could also save himself,
yeah,
depending on who ends up on the block.
We'll figure it out.
Kacer pops up and intros the pressure cooker competition.
Kacer! Which...
What up, Kacer? I was very excited. Love Kacer. And it was funny because you could see when he introduced it, America and Corey were celebrating because they're huge fans of the show. So, like, they knew what was up. Meanwhile, you hear Jag in the background, "What's the pressure cooker?" And they had to, like, real quick explain it to him.
It's a crock pot.
So the way it was explained is this competition is Revenge of the Pressure Cooker. So it's a pressure cooker, but the stakes are a little bit higher. Julie gives the rules, no sitting, no kneeling, no bathroom breaks. Every time someone gets eliminated, they get a card, and it either comes with a reward or a punishment. And they show us the very beginning of the competition, and it is pitch dark in this room. And they're all kind of like in a circle staring at each other.
I didn't know it was pitch black. I thought it was just the color of the room.
Oh, no, it was pitch dark black in there. They could not see shit.
They just stand in the dark?
They were standing in the dark.
Like Vertigo. I'd be like, I gotta go. I gotta go.
But that was all that they showed in the episode. And then Julie was like, okay, like this competition's on feeds if anyone wants to watch. So, of course, you know, I watched it. So for those, I will say before we get to the spoilers, I think I can say this without spoiling anything. The pressure cooker went for just under 14 hours long. So I started watching it that night, Thursday night. It's right now, it's Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern time for us. It just finished like a couple hours ago. So I watched like 2 hours of it, went to bed, got up, and it was still going. When I woke up, there were like still 7 people in it.
That's nuts.
Yeah, it was wild. So for anyone that doesn't want spoilers, now's the time to jump because we're going to talk about pressure cooker a little bit. Christina,
abandon ship now.
I know, right? Are you ready to talk some spoilers or what?
I'm ready.
Okay. So first people to drop were Sari and Jared. Very embarrassing. They didn't even make it more than like an hour and a half.
Bro, so, but that's still a out. While.
No, it's just to stand there and put your hand on a button though.
Doc, you can't see nothing. Well, I have like a headache in 3 minutes.
But here's the thing. It wasn't always dark. So what they didn't show in the episode, which I'm sure people will see next week, is it was dark for a period. Then they would turn the lights on. There was loud music. There were strobe lights. There was dancing. All this crazy mm-hmm. stuff going on. Oh, yeah. They were dancing. They were moving around a lot. Obviously, one hand on the button at all times. But Sari and Jared were out first. We didn't get to see them drop because feeds were down for that part for some reason. And then there was also a cage full of snakes in the middle of the room.
What?
Yeah, which was weird because I thought what was going to happen was they were going to release them at some point. They never released them. They were just there in the middle. So I don't know if that was just to like freak them out to think that the snakes were going to go everywhere or what, but
I'd do that. I'd freak them out.
Who knows? What else? Oh, there were flies that got released.
Oh,
there was
nope.
sewage stench, like a smell.
But you could block your nose.
You could. It was also like really, really cold in there. I think they kept pumping cold air in, so they were like freezing.
That's how they keep you awake in casinos.
True. In the Big Brother house, it's how they freeze you to death.
Yeah, right?
The last three standing were Mimi, America, and Cameron. So here I am pulling for Mimi and America. And of course, fucking Cameron won it. I was so mad.
That was probably the most boring person to win.
It was boring. And like, I don't know. I just feel like Cam is
blah.
I just don't want to listen to him talk all week long on feeds, to be quite honest.
I don't either.
But I guess we know that Red will be safe. That's for sure.
Go Red.
I like Red, so I'm happy about that at least. I feel like we can dig more into the pressure cooker in next week's episode. But those are the major updates. I'm trying to think. Anything else we should add?
Thanks for joining my first ever episode of the season. Woo-hoo! So excited. I hope everyone tunes in to every future episode.
She's Amen. Back, y'all. She's back.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for listening.
We hope you enjoyed.
To join in on the discussion, use the hashtag OBrotherPodcast on social media, and you can find me at It's Me Bree Lee everywhere.
And you can find me at Christina Jascott.
We'll talk to you next time. Bye.
See you later.